But as we come to today now, we're coming to Esther, truth and God's word, and bringing messages from their lives. And as I came to Esther again, and as I studied that life of Esther in that book, I thought, you know, God is so wonderful in terms of what he's given us, and how appropriate the lives of these women bring messages to us that are relevant in our day. As you may remember, the life of Esther, her story begins with King Xerxes. And if you read the very beginning of King of Esther, you'll realize that King Xerxes was over 127 different provinces. So his kingdom was very large. It says it went from India to Kush, which is a huge area that he was king over and responsible for. So this was a huge kingdom that he was king over at that period of time. And the story is that King Xerxes wanted to give a celebration that showed his power and all of his wealth. And so he gave a big party and invited people to it. And it talks about the food that he prepared and the wine that he prepared for the people who came. And he invited everybody to come and be a part of that. Well, Queen Vashti didn't want to be outdone by the king, so she gave her own party and did that party. And you know, in the midst of all of that, King Xerxes then, you know, asked Queen Vashti to come into his quarters to be with him. And Queen Vashti said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so as a result of her denial of his request to come and be with him, King Xerxes talked to his wise men and asked them, you know, well, what should we do? You know, this is not what the queen should be doing, saying no to the king. And so as a result of that, the wise men said, you know, you need to not allow Queen Vashti to ever come into your presence again. You need to put her out. You need to say you're no longer the person of honor that you had been. And they said, what the wise men said, what you need to do now, King Xerxes, is go out there and find another queen. So through this process, where King Xerxes is inviting all of these beautiful women to come and prepare themselves to come into his presence for him to choose a new queen, this Jewish girl, Esther, who is the niece of Mordecai, okay, is one of these ladies that's going to come into the presence of the king. Now, just a little bit more about this relationship between Esther and Mordecai. Esther's parents both died while she was a child. And so this uncle, Mordecai, adopted her to become his own daughter. And he was raising her, and she was a very beautiful girl. And so Mordecai, you know, worked with her. She became a part of this group of women who were preparing to go into King Xerxes' presence to be chosen as a potential queen. And as it worked out, she was chosen to be that person. So this all is happening, and then there's one other person who becomes a part of this whole story. We have Xerxes, we have Queen Vashti, we now have Esther, and then we have this man, Haman, who, you know, was evidently a prominent person in King Xerxes' realm, and King Xerxes had made him and put him in a place of honor that was really next to the king himself. And Haman is a person of evil who he used that evil in evil ways. And we'll talk more about that as we move ahead. But this Haman, I want to go to Esther chapter 4, and I want to read chapter 4 now of Esther as the context then for the message, and we'll talk more about that. So, reading from Esther chapter 4. Okay, I think we need to back up just a bit here, okay? Give a little bit more background before I go into this. Mordecai's the Jew. Mordecai's the adopted father of Esther. Mordecai finds out that there are a couple of people in King Xerxes' realm, court, who are wanting to kill him. So Mordecai finds out this plot, and he passes this information along to Esther. Esther passes it along to Xerxes, and King Xerxes takes care of these guys who plotted to kill him. So Haman, okay, who's this guy that Xerxes put in position next to king himself, is jealous of Mordecai because Mordecai has done this, and the king has honored Mordecai because of what he's done. So now we go ahead. When Mordecai learned of all... Okay, one more thing yet. So what Haman did was Haman decided, I've got to punish this Jew. You know, I've got to do something to punish this Jew because Haman's jealous of him. And so what Haman does is he declares that Mordecai, the Jew, should be killed. But not just that. He declares that not just Mordecai I'm going to punish, I'm going to punish all the Jews. So he writes this document that he puts the signet seal of the king on that tells all of these 127 provinces that King Xerxes is over that you are to kill all of the Jews in your province. And so this is what Haman has done. Now, let's read. Okay, so when Mordecai learned of all that had been done, which is what Haman did, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which this edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay to King Xerxes into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain to her, and he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law. They will be put to death unless the king extends the gold sceptre to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and I will perish if I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. A great message for us today. Number of things to think about here. Number one, I want us to think about the destructive nature of jealousy, pride, power, and ego. First of all, Queen Vashti. She was prideful, powerful. She had an ego that was bigger than it should be. The attitude that she had was, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. Forget you, King Xerxes. The result of allowing that kind of attitude and response to those in authority is stated in chapter 1, verse 19. King Xerxes says, and his wise men say, if we don't do something, there will be no end to disrespect and discord. Interesting that these two actions are tied together. Disrespect is going to lead to discord. Now, we think about our world. Think about our lives. Think about what's going on. Disrespect leads to discord. I think we can look around us and we can see the reality of that. And where does that come from? It comes from pride, power, and ego. That was Vashti's downfall. So we come to the second villain. We come to Haman. Again, we see this destructive nature of pride and power and ego combined with a heart of jealousy. Haman was jealous of Mordecai because Mordecai had discovered this plot against the king, and the king honored Mordecai for saying something about that. And Haman, you talk about conspiracy. Here it is. Haman wanted to destroy not just Mordecai, he wanted to destroy the Jews. He wanted to bring a Holocaust. Pride, power, ego, jealousy causes destruction. Haman couldn't stand the idea that this Jew Mordecai was being honored by King Xerxes, even though he himself, Haman, was honored by the king. But Haman couldn't stand the idea that this Jew was also being honored by the king. In both Queen Vashti and Haman, we see this destructive nature of pride and power and jealousy. When you look at and evaluate the nature of the people around you, around us, what do you see? When you look at yourself, what do you see? I think this is a time for us to examine ourselves. What's our attitude? What's our attitude? What's my attitude in relationship to those in authority over me? Those around us, those people that are a part of my life. Queen Vashti and Haman have set the stage for the entrance now of a different kind of person and a different attitude. So enter Esther and Mordecai. Upon the death of Esther's parents, Uncle Mordecai adopted Esther. David, you adopt your grandkids. Here's a different kind of an attitude. Here's an attitude to serve. Here's an attitude of humility to love and care for someone in need. And then there's Esther. And think of Queen Esther. Think of Esther before she comes queen. Esther has a deep respect for this man, Mordecai, who has adopted her to be her dad. And as we read through this account, we see and hear Esther's asking for wisdom from this adopted dad, and then receiving what it is that Mordecai says that she should do. And so we see this interplay between Esther and Mordecai, and it's a beautiful picture of respect and care and love in the midst of this experience in life. A couple of things here. Number one, Mordecai, in what he does, finds a place of honor as he protects the king, but he doesn't become proud. He isn't egotistical about it. He doesn't put it in anybody's face. He just receives it. Think of Esther. She finds a place of honor in her God-given beauty and following the wisdom of her dad. God gives us gifts to use. He gives us a variety of gifts. To Esther, he gave the gift of beauty. I love beautiful women. That's why I married Margaret. Well, there were more than just that. Esther was a beautiful woman. God gifted her that way for a purpose, for a reason. And she took that gift and she allowed it to be used by God to bring her to this place in this time for a special purpose. Mordecai honors his God then and does not bow down to Haman. Now, this is the kicker. You know, Haman's this guy who thinks he's something. And when he walks through the city gate, everybody bows down to him. Mordecai says no. Okay? You know, we're saying no today. We have to examine our reasons for that. We need to know why. But Mordecai says, no, I'm not going to bow down to Haman. I only bow down to my God, my Lord. And so it's in this process of Mordecai honoring God in the way that he believes he needs to, by not bowing down to Haman, that brings this destructive edict in which Haman wants to kill Mordecai as well as all of those Jews. Several important lessons for us. Number one, always, always seek to honor God. Always seek to honor God. Mordecai and Esther did that. We'll look at that further. Also, honor and respect those in authority. Now, here's where I want to speak about our situation. Dr. Holmes has been given a place of authority in our community as a person who's responsible for our physical well-being and our care. We've chosen not to do what he asked in terms of just meeting virtually. We've said we're going to gather. We're going to meet. But what does it look like for us to respect Dr. Holmes? I think it's important for us still to respect this man who's been given a place of authority and responsibility in our community. What does that look like? Well, let me offer a couple of suggestions. Number one, I think when we have opportunity to acknowledge his position and place of responsibility for us, we need to do that with a sense of thanks. He's in a hard place. He is in a very hard place. Probably, I don't know what percentage to say, but a majority of this community is probably very upset with him for a lot of the things that he's asking of us. Folks, this is where we cannot become proud and egotistical. This is where we need to stay humble before our God. This is where we need to still respect him as a person and acknowledge his position, even though we may say no. And I think it's possible for us to do that. I don't think those are two things that cannot exist together. I challenge us with that and pray that we can do that. I think it's important. Then the third thing here, in terms of lessons that come from this, is don't be afraid to confront evil. Okay? Don't be afraid to confront evil. Now, we could say, and some would say, that this edict that has come from Dr. Holmes is evil. I don't want to go there. I'm not sure it's that. I think he genuinely cares about us and our well-being. I don't want to go there in relationship to that. But there are evils in our world that we need to confront. There are things that are evil that we need to be willing to stand up and say, this is wrong. Something needs to be done. Mordecai and Queen Esther were not afraid to stand and confront evil. One of the other things that we learn here, I think, that's important for us, and one of the things that often is kind of the center of this message from Esther, is that God does put Christians in places of authority for a purpose. There are times in our world where we see people who have come and have stood in places of authority and been able to make decisions or influence decisions that are made that honor God rather than destroy God's truth and God's word. People are put in positions to do that. Esther was certainly one of those people at that time. Now, what are the actions and responses of Mordecai and Esther that we need to see and make a part of our lives? Number one, Haman had just declared this edict that all the Jews in the realm of Xerxes were to be killed on a certain day. Mordecai and then Queen Esther went into mourning before God to intervene on their behalf. What were Mordecai's and Esther's responses to this edict? Esther said, Mordecai, I want you and all the Jews in Susa to go into mourning, to fast for 3 days, along with me and my court. So Esther's response to this is to seek God first of all, and not just to pray for 10 minutes on Sunday morning. Esther said, I'm going to fast for 3 days, me and my court. That meant all the people that attended her, she was going to have them all fast. And she said, Mordecai, I want you to call all the Jews in Susa to do the same thing with me. What did they do when they heard this edict? Did they stand in protest and put up signs and hold their fists up and shake their hands at the government? No. They, in humility, went to prayer. Today's an appropriate day to talk about this in the relation to what's happening in Washington and the prayer focus that's there. Folks, we need to stand in humility before our God. Not shaking our fists with anger and with a sense of power to overthrow, but rather, first of all, to seek God. Queen Esther with all her court and Mordecai with all the Jews in Susa fasted, seeking God's direction. The second thing, Queen Esther then proceeded with wisdom and respect for the king, for King Xerxes, as she initiated this plan. I think this is important for us to understand as well. Esther understood protocol, all right? She understood that she could not just at any time go into the presence of the king and ask for something. She understood protocol. She understood that if she went to the king, he could very well kill her for doing that if he did not summon her, if he did not ask her to come. She understood the cost of what she was going to do in going to the king. She realized that her move to do this was something that was not legal, but it rested on the hand of King Xerxes' willingness to put the scepter out to her and say, come, Queen Esther, it's okay. Queen Esther was not afraid to confront evil. What Haman had done was evil. Esther knew that she would either be received or rejected by the king when she came, and yet she came. And in chapter 4, verse 16, we have this statement. This is a statement by Esther. When this is done, that's the 3 days of fasting, Esther says, I will go to the king. And then she says this, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. We've said no to meeting virtually. It's not going to mean that we perish. You know, there's no edict that says we're going to die because we've met here. No one's going to come and shoot us. For Esther, it very well could have meant that she would die as a result of what she did. And her attitude was, if I perish, I perish. You see, there needs to be a willingness in our lives to confront evil, no matter what it may mean in relationship to our lives. And to be able to do that, we have to know what we're doing. You see, that 3 days of fasting was a time when God was working in Mordecai and Esther's minds and hearts to direct them, to show them what to do. When we make decisions that may be against what is legal, we'd better know what God wants and what we need to do. Notice the contrast of attitudes between Queen Vashti and Haman. There's no pride or sense of power or privilege. There's only the sense of humility and vulnerability. Vashti and Haman were proud, egotistical, wanted to use their power and hold on to their power. For Esther, it's a completely different attitude, a totally different attitude. one of vulnerability, one in which I'm trusting God no matter what comes. There are two significant statements then by Mordecai in relationship to what's happening here. First of all, the one that, you know, we preach often, who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And again, we say that God does bring people into places of influence at certain times. The second is this. I think it's very significant to us in relationship to our times and our actions and our choices. Mordecai says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will come from another place. Do you get what Mordecai's saying there? Here's Queen Esther. She has influence and power. What Mordecai's saying is that, well, Esther, maybe God won't choose to use you here. But if he doesn't, he's going to do it another way. Amazing. Amazing testimony of Mordecai's faith and trust in his God. Folks, this is huge. This is for us today. This is the attitude we want to live with. This is the attitude that can help us live without fear in the midst of this pandemic. Man, I hope your hearts are smiling or crying or whatever now. They need to be, because this is powerful stuff from Mordecai. This story is a wonderful picture of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus and to be people who love and worship and honor the Lord our God as we live in this present world. There are always going to be evil people, and there are always going to be evil realities in this present world. It's never going to change. It's going to be there. We need to understand and respect the powers that be. We need to seek God's leadership and wisdom as we confront the evils of our present age. We need to step out with courage and do what we can, understanding and acknowledging that God may work through us, or he may bring answers to these situations and places and issues some other way. Don't be like Queen Vashti and Haman, who allowed their pride and their ego and perceived power to move them to disrespect and hateful actions. God forbid that any one of us respond with hateful attitudes toward those who may be in authority over us. That's not God's way. God's way is a way of humility and peace and trust and faith in him. Remember that God honors those who honor him and follow his truth. And God justly punishes evil in his time. We are not called to bring judgment, folks. We are called to worship and honor the Lord our God. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if you're hearing the thunder, but God's talking. He's giving affirmation, I believe, to his message and his word. We're going to close with a hymn, and we're going to sing this one. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Stand with me as we sing together.